Are you ready to rock and roll? Are you ready to rumble? Are you smelling what the Rock is cooking? Is that what they say? Smelling it? Do you smell?
I think so.
What the Rock? Why do you smell? I guess you do smell cooking. It doesn't sound right. Like, it sounds like kind of fart stuff. Right?
I don't think it would be like better if he was like, have you tasted what the Rock is cooking?
Have you sampled? Have you sampled the Rock's where? Welcome to Tunnel Talk, a No Facts, All Feelings wrestling podcast. I'm Allie.
I'm Ann.
And I'm Leah.
And we hate not being on vacation.
Being on regular time instead of lake time is horrifying.
I hate the dry world. I hate the dry world.
I want to go where the people are. Leah says, no, get back underwater, girl.
I got to get underwater.
And it wasn't even especially nice water. I mean, it was nice, but there was a lot of algae inside the swimsuit.
And it was
maybe
cold.
That was just me.
It was cold on one of the days.
I found a lot in there.
Yeah. I was avoiding it in the. I don't think I got that much inside my swimsuit, but
I guess there was I was avoiding it. But it was so bright, beautiful, vibrant color. I want to go back.
Just that soft, gentle cloud
caress,
of algae,
the caress of the algae
grabbing
on your
you.
Skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So soft and sensual.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that our listeners are going to be like, wow, I'd love to go on vacation with them? They're making it sound so attractive.
I think so. I think they're gonna want to come on our vacation next year.
And they're all invited. So yeah
absolutely, hey, of course.
Sandals Jamaica 2025.
That's right.
Yeah, that's the plan. That's a bit we're doing for sure. You know, I got back here. This was real insult upon injury. We got the wildfire smoke.
Mm. Oh,
we
really?
We got the wildfire smoke.
Wow.
And it was pretty intense yesterday, and I had to close all the windows, and I ordered an air conditioner that hasn't come yet. So I've been having a little bit of a rough time.
Actually, it was really hazy here. I wonder if that was
I bet you got
smoke.
It.
I bet it was. Yeah, I didn't think about it.
You got it.
Hmm. Yeah, our girls, including producer Marjorie, that were coming from New York City, mm-hmm. got out of the city. What was it, an hour before?
It was less, I think.
I feel like a half hour.
Yeah, just right before barely. The LaGuardia grounded everything.
Yeah, wow. It's crazy. Wow. We would have lost it if our New York girls had not made it.
There would have been a fucking mutiny. I mean, I don't know what our action would have been, but our minds would have been deeply unwell.
Producer Marjorie situation. Is just calmly nodding.
I know. Ladies, I know you would not have been thriving without me. And it's true. She's right to say it.
Mm-hmm.
We did watch a little wrestling together. We watched Dynamite last week together, and even poor producer Marjorie was subjected to it. She was reading her book, and good for her, and others were mm-hmm. there reading their books.
Hey, our friend Baronia
we're great
was,
to travel with.
Our friend Baronia was watching, and she watches actual MMA, and she watched it.
She watched it. Yeah, well, part of it. Yeah, no, most of it.
Most
did
of
she
it.
Did she? No,
some
she left
it.
To do the dishes.
She went to do the dishes. She put her little podcast earphones in, and she went to do the dishes. Yeah,
yeah. But she came back for the last hour.
Yeah,
she
I came think back. That showed deep
hey,
investment.
They came back. And they were loving it.
The thing is that these people have been in a group chat with us for the whole time we've been in wrestling. So if they're not into wrestling at this point, they're
not.
Oh,
it's not
going
to happen. And we don't expect it. We don't expect it to happen. What we appreciate is that they were willing to be with us while we, the subject matter experts, said stuff like, why is this happening again? Wait, do we know that man? I saw a tweet today where someone was just like, if you say you can't follow wrestling, you're the dumbest person on the planet because it's the simplest thing to follow in the world. And I was like, I can't talk about this right now. It's harder to follow sometimes than stuff that is much more intellectually stimulating. I'll tell you that for free.
Well, I would say based on, because people were complaining about the ending of the match last night and saying it was hard to follow. That I did not find hard to follow
insane.
Because all of those men made their emotional issues very memorable for me. Yeah. So really, when I have trouble watching it, it's on the wrestlers for making their emotional issues not sexy enough for me to retain them.
I agree completely because, yeah, that was like my main thought. I was like, wow, this is so great. People keep running out and I understand why every single one of them is here and what their relationships to the people already in the ring are. It was fantastic.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you also, this is just a theory I'm forming on the fly. Because there's been so many injuries and there's so many other places that they've been taking off to, like ROH, we've been seeing so many of the same guys that it's kind of like he's not currently playing like a flash card game with us. It's like, oh, I know that man. I see him all the time.
we're working with a limited roster right
for
now.
A while, like it felt like TK was like, I'm going to show you a blue purple like a purple shape, and then I'm going to show you six orange shapes, and then you got to say what the purple shape was of, and you'd be like, I don't remember, it's gone now.
Yeah, I don't know what game that is, but
it's a memory game for people with Alzheimer's.
Allie, you've played it, you don't remember.
Okay, I was not expecting that punchline, and that's so funny.
Okay, well, let's talk about the clown car end of the night last night, shall we? Let's talk about our babies.
Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so last week when we were watching at the lake, the Hung Bucks challenged BCC to a match, which Brian Danielson accepted on their behalf. This week, that match main evented Dynamite. So I think this was the first Hung Bucks team up since like 2018. Is that right? The first
something
like that. In AEW. Is that right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Very exciting. They all came out to Wayward Son. I somehow hadn't thought at all about like what the walkout situation was going to be. So when Wayward Son started, I was like, this is crazy. I'm so excited. And we were right to be.
I got disoriented for a second, actually, because there was a taller shape between the Bucks.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, Kenny's there. I wonder when Hangman's going to come out. The camera got closer, and I was like, oh, yeah.
I love the idea that Kenny would be like, I'm not in the match, but I would still like to do the walk.
I'd kind of like to be center and forward for this match, yeah.
And put Hangman, like, right directly behind him, so it looks like one silhouette, but then they kind of boy band separate into the dance. Oh. The Bucks were wearing very special cowboy brother outfits.
Cowboy brother.
This is the stupidest they've ever looked.
They look so stupid.
100%. With the tassels on the cowboy hats.
Oh my God.
Nobody's doing it like them.
So fucking dumb.
I was howling. The fact that those bandanas stayed on the whole match.
With the fringe. Well, and then they fell off. At one point, Matt was like leaping up onto the ropes and you could just see the neckerchief fall to the ground. So graceful and beautiful. Thought, wow, that's art.
Unbelievable.
Really, really good. So anyway, they had the match. Everybody was jumping and leaping. I mean, they were clearly really feeling their oats.
They really were. Like, everyone was so riled up. Max got up on the ropes and did a leap. I was like, wow.
He's scared of heights.
I know. It really felt like everybody was like, I'm feeling myself.
They were. And I have to say, I mean, I know we've said it many, many times, and we all know that Hangman has some of the most beautiful moonsaults and jumps and leaps in the biz. But last night, I was just like struck anew. And then I watched a clip where it was when like Nick jumped up onto the ropes and was doing a, you know, and then, but Hangman also was doing one. And I watched it, I want to say like 30 times in a row, just comparing their bodies because I was trying to figure out, obviously Nick looks amazing when he does his jumps and his leaps, but there's something that Hangman does with the extension of his legs that is the thing that makes him look almost like slow-mo for a moment while he's doing that. It's crazy. Like, I'm just like, what is it? Did you learn to do it on purpose? It just makes him look like, I just start reciting the daring young man on the flying trapeze in my head when I see it. Like, it's just like, this is unreal.
I completely agree. Like, I also got stuck watching that for a while, and it's like, Nick looks like a little howler monkey, right? Like, he looks so graceful. He looks
monkeys jumping on the bed.
He looks so comfortable on the ropes. Like, he could just, he could scale a wall. Yeah. But, like, there's something, like, I think you're right in that it's the extension of the legs, but it's also something in the neck, too, where it's like, all of a sudden, he accentuates how long his body is, and it kind of flows in a weird way.
Yeah. just so graceful. It's like really unfair for a person that beautiful to also just like move beautifully.
I know. Crazy. Like you have a body like that and you know how to use it. My God. Anyway, so great match. Hangman hit Yuta with the buckshot lariat for the win. Bryan Danielson was on commentary. I love the little side flicks. When Yuta started getting it in this match, his little looks just like, that boy is not going to have a good night. That boy's going to get punished.
The way that Bryan Danielson has been leaning into like abusive dad is just really, I don't know.
It makes working. Me wonder where it's like, if it's actually going somewhere, which I had for a long time, I hadn't really thought. And I've recently started to be like, oh, is this like, are we going to actually get a storyline where we realize that abuse is bad? That would be interesting.
Yuta goes back to the loving arms of Chuck Taylor. I mean, maybe.
Maybe so. They've shockingly been keeping that running. So
they have. Yeah. It's very surprising.
Astonishing to all of us. Okay, so Hung Bucks won, or I should say, what are they called? I think it didn't copy in here. The what did it say on the Chiron?
Oh, on the Chiron, it said the sexually suggestive and anatomically incorrect.
Formerly known by and anatomically incorrect name. So the Hung Bucks won. BCC started beating them up again. So then we got this series of clown car runouts, but like sexual. I mean, I think we all kind of lost our minds because we had like 5 minutes left to the end of this match. So Eddie came back from the
so
wars.
So excited. Unbelievable.
And sports hernia surgery.
Seemed to be motivated by his hatred of Claudio most of all, which loved
well,
it.
Yeah. What I liked so much about that is that like he got into the ring and he had like a beef with like six different people. Yes. He was just spinning around and being like, and fuck you, and fuck you, and fuck you. Yeah.
Well, it was great because I think like he had come up before in various, you know, conversations people were having about like, oh, how are you gonna get like a 5-on-5 for blood and guts? And people have been like, yeah, Eddie comes in, fights with the BCC or something like that. And it is totally great that it's like Eddie shows up and you're like, ooh, Eddie actually has extremely complicated and dysfunctional relationships with everyone involved here that make it not that clear who he would fight with if he fought with someone, which is great. That's right. so good.
And even if he fought with some, I mean, like even if he agreed to tag with one of the groups, it does not guarantee to be on their side through the whole match. You know what I mean?
Like, no.
He could switch allegiances at any point.
He likes like one person from each faction in the company, but no one else in that faction, which
right.
is
Eddie's going to show up and like midway through the match, just be like, fuck it. I'm on team me.
Yeah, exactly.
And so for Mox to come out and like stop him and then they're like in each other's faces in like such an erotic way. It's just like,
and
I
like Matt was trying to kind of duck in and help. And Eddie's clearly being like, this is none of your business. Like it was just like, oh right, you've all got it.
Yeah. And when they're like attacking Mox and then he's like, leave him alone, like come on, you know, it's just like, ooh, there's a lot going on here.
What was the chaos match that Eddie like was supposed to be in and he was just like, fuck it, and left? You know what I'm talking about? He like left the ring and went to the back and he was like, no, I'm not doing this.
Yeah, I don't remember, but yeah, I remember. Okay. Allie, stupid girl. Anyway.
Title of the episode.
I don't remember. So Eddie's out there, and then Takeshita ran out to attack Eddie, and then Kenny came out in his jeans to attack Takeshita, and finally, Will Ospreay ran out and attacked Kenny. And you could
see a real old lady that swallowed a fly sequence
it was
there.
Absolutely. A classic old lady who swallowed a fly sequence. And you could see Don Callis like applauding so happily at Ospreay coming out, which is very interesting. So then Ospreay beat Kenny up, beating. And then he just kind of showed off his hot body for a while. And and that's a personal thing that I'm dealing with. And then that was the end of Dynamite. So what do you guys want to talk about?
About Kenny, Sarah just was, when he came out and he was fighting Takeshita, she just goes, how can one man arouse me so much when everything about him turns me off?
he's repulsive.
I mean, she's right, yeah.
When you see him running out and that's the moment where you do a little hair check on Kenny and you ask, like, what did we do to ourselves today? And the answer is always, like, something ungodly. And it was skunk hair again. I didn't care because I said, I want to kiss you on your big old titties, your mommy milkers. Delete that. Cut it. Yeah, I mean, What can you say?
I know. He's just come straight from his video game chair, and it shouldn't be hot, but here now, we are.
You know who did have some great hair last night? It was Nick Jackson.
It was Nick Jackson. It looked healthy.
I say this with all the love in the world. Do not take it the wrong way. I'm not pitting brother against brother, but his hair looked healthier than Matt's last night.
Wow.
I mean, his hair looked... Okay.
You're taking your life in your hands.
You're trying to cause discord.
I'm not, because I was shocked by it. His hair looked shiny and glossy, like he had done a Pantene Pro-V commercial. Matt's hair was kind of damp and like rough and tomboy, you know.
But tomboy. Love it.
He's girl coded. When Matt in this match did his northern suplexes, and I said during Pride Month, that's an ally. when that beautiful boy is doing 17 northern suplexes in a row, and he says, "I know it makes my body look so strong." Yeah. He's an ally. That's to lesbians.
For lesbians.
Ally. Okay. Anything else you guys want to talk about in this elite space?
We got to keep Eddie. We got to keep him in here. I can't go months without seeing him again.
No. Well, I know. I think he is going to Japan for a few weeks now, right? He's about to go on some kind of Japanese excursion tour or something.
I don't love the sound of that.
He's very happy about it.
He's going to the G1. Is that
you
right?
You think I care if he's happy?
I want him to be. You're a better person than you, because I really want him to be.
Sorry.
Don't you feel like, though, that like there's a certain level that you got to keep Eddie happy, because he could just nope.
He's a wild card.
Anytime. Yeah, he's a real wild card.
I did feel when he came out.
I do feel like he's maybe been punished for the past while for making himself unpleasant backstage.
I don't know, but when he came back and he was in that ring, I was like, genuinely, I'm like trying to mind meld with Tony Khan. I'm like, Tony, never forget this. You cannot forget this man. We need him here. He is part of the heart and the soul.
Yeah.
All the hearts and the souls are here right now.
Mm-hmm. I know. Tony? Well, I do hope Tony was listening, because I felt like every single person came out and got a huge pop. And it's like, yes, A, these are all people that like are well-loved. Please treat them, right? But also, B, you get to do these kind of things when you take the time to explain what each and every person is doing there. Like, I know who all of those men are. I know what they want. I know what they're afraid of. Yeah. I'm happy to see them.
Leah, frame it the way you did. Frame it the way you did for us.
Oh, God.
Draw me like one of your French girls, Leah. Come on. No, just that you said, you specifically said, you're like, you can have too many men in the ring when I understand who all the men are and why they're there. And I was really struck by that, where I was like, it's so true. I mean, it's like, we don't ask for much. We always get yelled at for asking for too much story. The girls want too much. Wrestling isn't cinema. We're not asking for it to be cinema. We're just asking for some sensical, like, relationships between people. And they're not difficult to set up. And you can set them up with the stupidest jokes on earth, which the Bucks do every week.
And honestly, like, Eddie and Mox was like so electric and so memorable. It's like they haven't done anything together in forever, but it's like, of course I'm right there being like, oh my God, like what is going to happen between them. And like Hangman and Mox, also electric. Like when they did Kissing Pose, I was like, yeah, I'm right here with you in all of this. Like, keep it going.
And I have to say, all those men too are very good at playing the long game with storylines and taking their time and actually doing stuff like over the course of many, many months that really like drives home like the nuance of the relationships. And I was thinking about like, like Eddie was fighting with the BCC, but he wasn't that happy about it because it was kind of complicated for him. Like, and you did a good job of showing that to me over time, so that in this moment I understand like, this is maybe about to get kind of messy.
Yeah, exactly.
So true.
Not rocket science.
And the pops they got compared to the pops some other people got on return in this episode for their pre-tapes. We'll talk about it later, but it was noticeable.
Stay tuned, folks. I do just want to briefly say, I think it's very funny that, so Best Friends are going to fight, or Chaos is going to fight Will Ospreay and United Empire, I think on Rampage tomorrow. And they also fought BCC before this match, right? They fought BCC last week as kind of like part of the run up to this. I love that they're just like doing elite dirty work, like we'll get crushed first fights, but like they're not aligned with the elite. Like the last time we saw you interact with the elite, you were fighting them. It's just very funny. Like, they're just like, we know they'll put on a great match, so we like to just get him out there right before.
It does seem like you could just do, you know, just a little bit, just a little 30 seconds of something there. Yeah, instead of just throwing it in.
There's no, it's like there's no need, but you must admit it's funny. You must admit it's funny. And I will say that this week, actually, or last week, Manolo said that he really loved Dustin's wrestling. He loved Dustin's wrestling, and he said that he'd love to see Yuta and Dustin have a little singles fight.
Yeah. I mean, honestly, like, those two have
a man loves my son.
I know. Those two have kept up a little emotional storyline, which is shocking every time I see it, but
fucking astonishing.
Yeah.
Anyway, can't wait to watch them lose.
Even though Manolo, I do think it's kind of diseased to actually ever suggest that a tag team partner should have a singles match, but it's fine. I'll
but
it.
Against his own child?
That's if a man needs to fight his child, like, obviously that's fine.
If a man needs to get in the ring with his child, that's not a crime. Okay. Although, imagine if Billy Gunn wanted to fight only one of his sons.
Oh.
Okay, so Adam Cole and MJF were on Dynamite last week, kind of promoing each other. I think this is right. Just tell me if it's wrong. MJF said he used to idolize Adam Cole and want to be just like him, and he would like watch his matches and stuff. But now Adam Cole is a soft gamer pajama boy with a teeny tiny little body and no muscles. Is that, when I say pajama boy, am I saying something offensive, or is it, as I think, just an inane thing that somebody said about the Obama speechwriters one time that to this day I think is so funny?
Did they say it about the Obama speechwriters?
That's where that I got so it funny. From. Is that it was like a conservative article that was like Obama's pajama boy about the crooked media guy. We'll Google that. We'll Google
that's
that
only
later.
How I'm going to think of them from here on out. And I wish you had told me that years ago. Yeah, but
I guess I thought I did, but I will look it up. And if I am saying something that's accidentally offensive, we'll bleep it. But otherwise, you guys can hear all that.
I'm going to be so happy if you just jorfed yourself.
Well, I've said it on this podcast before and no one has spoken. So
it's very evocative.
As soon as you say it, you know exactly what you mean by it. I mean, yeah.
Too soft for this life. Okay.
A soft little pajama boy. Yeah.
Small, smooth, soft like a seal pajama boy. thank you, Leah, for that one. Okay, so anyway, he said you're a teeny tiny little body. Adam Cole then said that MJF is really mean and a bully, and he's on steroids. And he goaded MJF into agreeing to a championship eliminator match that opened Dynamite this week. So this was a match for the right to have a match for the title, which I didn't really appreciate, but I'm glad that listener Jeff, thank you, Jeff, explained that to Anne so she could explain it to us, because we don't listen when we watch TV, because we're stupid. So they fought. There were some mid-match shenanigans where MJF like tried to do his like making his opponent look like he's cheating trick, but instead Bryce Remsburg was sacked out sleeping in the middle of the match. We should talk about that. Need to start a conversation. So Adam Cole got his evil snake heel look, and he did wallop MJF with the belt, cheated for real, didn't win. He did end up pinning MJF, but the bell rang just before the three count, so he had a time limit draw. He asked, like, was really upset and was like, give me 5 minutes, I'll beat you. MJF left. What do you guys think about all of that? The pajama boy stuff included, if you have more of it you want to say about that. I'm happy to go back to that well.
I literally did just have to put my phone down because I was like, maybe I'll read this article about pajama boys.
The pajama boy menagerie.
Adam Cole is a pajama boy if anyone ever was. I mean,
absolutely. Do you think that the Bucks are pajama boys?
Yeah, 100%.
I don't think so.
You don't think so?
Really?
I don't think they're pajama boys. No, that has a different...
You think they're tough boys from the street?
Has a different mouth feel. No, they're not tough boys.
No, they're not.
There's something else.
Should we create...
something else. A third category of boy.
Well, no. We did say once that should we do a quiz on our group chat where we all vote on what kind of body each boy has? Like when we used to say like puppy body boy or... I don't know what the other ones are, but now I'm like,
old-timey body.
Old-timey body. Oh, that's what we've been arguing about a lot recently, because I've got some very strong feelings. You just know it when you see it. It's like porn.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's like porn in many ways. But so should we make a quiz where we just put the whole roster up and the only question is whether they're a pajama boy or not?
Well, I did. I made the group chat do that for the baby, for when the internet was arguing over who's a baby girl. Do you remember?
Oh,
I made.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah.
That was an important discussion.
I worked really hard on that. I found a lot of pictures.
I think I was
like,
on vacation.
I think I was on vacation.
I missed it.
You made an interactive thing for us.
I cut a lot of people out and like so you could move their figures around the chart.
Well, again, I didn't get to play the game. I was on vacation, so...
Okay, I'm getting some praise from Anne right now,
I think that's kind of your fault.
Right,
Alice,
it's not about me. It's not about me. I want you to be praised, but I just don't want it at the expense of dismissing this idea, you know? So... But let's go back to that. Anne, is there anything else you'd like to say about the activity that Leah hosted last summer at summer camp?
I hear it was amazing. Yeah, I think it was a pretty good reason not to go on vacation. I was pretty pleased that I was in the country for that one.
I agree that I shouldn't have gone. I should have been in the country, and I should have been doing that activity that Counselor Leah tirelessly put together for the
group.
Thank
you so much.
An enrichment activity.
Was that Australia?
I think so.
Well, it did cause all out. So yeah, there's a lot of reasons
why. Yeah, I shouldn't have gone. It was a terrible trip.
We had to walk ourselves for like 3 straight weeks. It was horrible.
I think you were on vacation for one of them, but
anyways, I probably still have that file and we could swap out the chart.
Well, we should do both. I mean,
we should do
baby girl. Maybe we should give our listeners baby girl maybe. They might like to do that activity as enrichment, but then we also could do pajama boy.
I think I stole a meme from like the K-pop people, so I hope they enjoy dragging wrestlers' faces onto K-pop categories. Do you think this is a good podcast?
Oh, yeah, I think it's very accessible. Yeah.
Well, we're coming up with a lot of things for our listeners to do. I mean, like
it's summer
a lunch
now.
And
we
learn.
We got to enjoy. You know, like. Enrich ourselves over the summer. Got to have something for the old brain to do. And it's sorting men into pajama boy categories, obviously.
Do you think that pajama boy and baby girl are oppositional? Or are they in the same, or would they overlap?
No, I think they're a Venn diagram. Well, I think some people could be both.
Yeah, I think like pajama boy is just like a soft, like sweet heart. And like he can date a baby girl. Like he can be
okay.
But he's not a baby girl and he's not anti baby girl. Like they can coexist.
What do you think? Is Hangman a baby girl?
I think he is.
Yeah.
So he could date Adam Cole a pajama boy.
Somewhere Emmy, our listener Emmy just like
interesting
sat
choice.
Up.
Well, those are just the only two that we've identified. We know who they are.
I thought you were going to see if Hangman could be both, like if they could be overlapping categories. But then
I got distracted because I got so excited. Leah had introduced this question of dating and kissing, so that distracted me.
Immediately. Squirrel. Yes,
that's what I like.
Hangman is not a pajama boy.
No.
No, definitely not.
Bryan Danielson kind of is.
A pajama boy?
I just got pushback.
I don't think so.
I don't think that's right. No, he's out in the woods. He's not soft and cozy.
No, he loves to lie.
You don't think he ever comes in?
No, I don't think he ever comes in. That man, I saw on my Twitter feed, like a very upsetting graph about climate change and how all the ice is melting and everything. And I was like, God, this is probably some political reporter. But it was Bryan Danielson, which is not the content I'm looking for from wrestlers.
He said, don't look away, Ann. What are we supposed to be talking about right now?
No,
Adam Cole and MJF.
Well, I was going to tell you guys that like I spent the entire match body shaming in my mind, but I think I just made that pretty clear.
Well, but I've been saying that to you guys too, that I keep accidentally, I see him and I just say, he's just little. He's just a little boy. And then I'm like, I'm the problem.
I know.
But you're kind of just saying he's small, though. You're not saying like his muscles are bad, right?
Well,
like,
I think he's a little shrimp.
Do you think like his chest is too like... doughy.
Well, I don't think it's a bad thing, but it
no.
is doughy. No, it is. But, like, not bad. Like, I don't hate it. All bodies are valid. But it is soft.
But you're shaming it.
I do think, like, you could...
I think he looks really little.
I think if you poked him, like, it would just, like, leave an imprint for a second.
Oh my God, she's way more of a problem than me.
Cut it.
I don't know if we can cut that.
Can we roll this back to like when you said, hey, do you have anything else to say about the MJF match?
Yeah, sure, Leah. Do you have anything else you want to say about the MJF match?
I went on a date with a guy who was into wrestling and body shamed Adam Cole. And I was like, I don't know how to respond to this from a man.
Did you say to him like, if I poked you, would it leave an imprint?
Yeah, that's what I said, definitely.
You should have said that, maybe, yeah.
Now I will. I didn't have that in my repertoire until Leah said
it. Now you know. It's kind of about bread, proofed bread.
I'll say, are you a little doughboy yourself? Let's get into it.
I don't think that Adam Cole looks like a little doughboy, but he is just small. Like, I just think, because he comes out and he does kind of like Danny Garcia, like, I'm a big boy. And then you see him next to MJF and you're like, you're little though. You're just a little boy.
Honestly, like the bebe motion is kind of like a puffer fish, like trying to make itself bigger. Right?
We love Adam Cole. We love Adam Cole.
If we are not making this clear, we love Adam Cole.
We love, because he's a pajama boy. We love pajama boys.
I love to watch him.
I love to watch him. He's not, to me, a face. He remains not a face.
No,
he's never looked like the most natural and exciting he's looked since he got back. And I think this match was really good. I think it was a really good match. Was when he was standing there with the belt, getting his, ooh, should I be bad face on? Yeah. And I was like, I know you will be, baby, because you need it. Yeah. You need to be bad. You were born to be bad.
Yeah.
And he did it. Good
and he him. Was and he was bad.
And he was bad. Good for him.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, he was. Okay, I don't think we have time to talk about it.
We kind of filibustered our Adam Cole MJF section, and good for us. Yeah.
How could we be over 30 minutes into this podcast? Okay, Sammy came out on Dynamite for an in-ring interview about his and Ty Mello's pregnancy. I think that was just what the interview was about. They're having a baby girl.
I watched most of their gender reveal video, which
why did that happen
so
to you?
I don't know. I like started. The thing is, they had a bunch of like, it was like all the wrestlers on the roster had to like guess what they thought it was going to be, and they kept count. So I like started it because I was like, it's just repulsive. And then I was like, oh, like Daddy Magic is here. And then I watched like all of it. I'm not happy with myself.
I will say that when you said that to us, it made me feel a little nervous. I thought like, wow, is she going
to... It wasn't for Sammy. Once it cut to the Sammy parts of the video, that's when I peaced out. But I did enjoy Chris Jericho saying that wrestlers mostly have girls. So he guessed girl, and he was right.
I can see myself going to watch this now that you've said that. Yeah, so...
See, that was the first one, so that's what happened.
Now that you've said that, I'll be hitting that. Okay, so then Darby interrupted. Sammy was being like, I'm going to be a girl dad, and I'm going to win a world title, and that's what I want. And... then Darby came out and interrupted, and I think just said, like, your father doesn't love you. He doesn't love or respect you. You think you're going to be a good father when your own father doesn't love, Chris Jericho, doesn't love or respect you? So this is about intergenerational trauma, which is rich soil, nutritious loam that you could grow many different trees in.
Really wish it was happening with anybody other than Sammy, because it's like I can't think of a father-son relationship I'm less interested in AEW, but
I don't even really think about them as father and son, even though we did just do a whole cycle where it's like was part of the thing of the pillars. But I'm just like,
it's not right. It's not how they interact.
Yeah, it's not really how they interact. But anyway, so Chris Jericho did come out and had his own little face-to-face with Sammy, where they were each going back kind of accusing each other of like not being there for the other in certain feuds. And Sammy said that maybe if Jericho had asked for his help, he wouldn't have lost to Adam Cole at the pay-per-view. Jericho did not like that, and he ordered Sammy to do a punishment tag team match with him, I think. Is that correct?
It did have the vibe of like, oh, you want to slam your door in my face? We're going to go to the zoo tomorrow.
You're coming to Costco with me. I don't want to go to Costco. Well, that's too bad for you. I need someone to help me carry stuff out to the car. So the energy here also is very funny because Darby was just between them in the background, kind of like poking his little head in.
Making little Muppet facial expressions too. It was so funny.
His timing was perfect because he waited until the most dramatic moment, and like one of them finished some burn, and there was like a shocking silence, and then you just saw Darby poke up, and he was just like had like this like Dennis the Menace grin on his face where he was like, "Y'all having fun? Y'all
so
here?
Funny." Darby's never been funnier.
He's really in his. He's weirding out recently.
Yeah, he really is.
Going
it's
on
interesting.
There, but.
I feel like, is he like more comfortable in the ring? He was just like very funny in this and making very silly expressions. I loved it.
It's interesting because I do think I have gotten the impression during the Pillars feud and now that he'd had a talk with someone that had made him feel like I must try and do more promos. I must become a little promo boy. And so maybe this is part of that, is that he's just trying to find his promo personality. Not that he's never promoed, but he hasn't usually talked that much.
No.
So I do feel like he's kind of playing in the space. And anyway, Jericho threatened him and Darby got his little imp face on and was just like, I actually have a daddy really nearby who would love to come help me out.
So funny, because we've heard him so much in the last like year be like, Sting's not my daddy, he's my best friend. But this time he was like, oh Papa.
It is
Papa, it's, come out here.
Okay. So Sting did come out and he and Jericho had a little standoff. Now Jericho was in those heels.
Wow. So funny.
Those like, were unbelievable.
Three-inch heels. Like I would have had problems standing them.
I mean, that gave joy. That brought joy. And they were kind of pink, right? Like
pink and purple and glittery.
Pink and purple glittery. And glittery. And they were getting him almost up to Sting's height, but not quite.
He needed to be closer to Sting. He was like, I can't look short out there. It's intolerable.
I guess they're not ready to kiss yet, but they might get there. Time will tell.
It's the golden age.
It's the golden age of adult lovers.
Cut it.
Adult lovers.
It's the golden age of adult lovers. It makes
us sound like we're recovering teen. Like,
it doesn't sound good, I'll tell you that. Yeah.
You're going to have to do a hack job on this episode. Are you ready for that?
Yeah, freaking mess.
You just let us know if we have to come in for reshoots or whatever.
I really want to get you guys on the mic being like, and when I said adult lovers.
It's here, so it's like we run the whole thing, but we just have to come back and answer for our crimes that are just like, I apologize for when I said adult lovers. What I was trying to convey was old men. Okay. Final question. Are these guys in a Forbidden Door match, or we haven't gotten an announcement? Are we getting some kind of Dudes with Attitudes thing? Did we ever figure out who was in Dudes with Attitudes?
We did, but I didn't. I remember. Yeah.
No, look it up.
It,
don't
I
Google. Look it up,
but the
I
problem
guess.
With Googling it is that then you run into all the '90s Dudes with Attitudes or whatever. But it's like it's Darby and Sting, and then
who are the
'90s
Dudes with Attitudes? Like Bart Simpson or
no, like wrestler. Oh, okay. So it was relevant.
Oh, okay. I don't. Yeah. I think I didn't know it was a thing.
Apparently it's a thing, yeah. I mean, I didn't retain who they were.
It's Kevin Nash and Shawn Michaels.
So they probably won't come to Forbidden Door. They don't even watch the product. So. Okay, well, we don't have to linger here. Should we move on?
Yeah.
For our own safety.
Yeah, for our own safety, we better. Okay. Again, did not do myself any favors with this description. how many... Okay, Sting, Orange Cassidy, Keith Lee, and Darby Allin fought the Embassy, Swerve Strickland, Brian Cage, Khan, and Toliona.
Swear I've never heard those names before, but
and what
probably
is their,
right.
And what is their tag team name? The Cage, the Kingdom, the
Embassy? The
Moguls?
Well, the Embassy is the four of them. No,
the
Mogul Embassy.
The Mogul Embassy.
Oh, right, they are the Embassy. Well, all together, they're the Mogul Embassy.
Yeah, probably.
Honestly, I feel like my brain just ground to a halt, and I'm so close to really not being able to keep talking. Like, I'm just kind of worried about freezing here forever. Like, whatever. All the men fought. There are reasons that these people are involved in this match that were set up on the show. Don't yell at us about it. But holistically, did this make sense? No. I would say zero, almost zero sense.
The amount they're just like throwing OC in like matches with like any old... I know it's been Darby a bunch of times, but it's just like, why is it happening?
I thought it was like mildly interesting that this match was three men who hate Swerve and a couple guys that like Swerve found to stand near him. There's worse reasons to have a match.
I would love it if they had just had a little sketch where like Sting, Orange Cassidy, Darby, and Keith Lee all sat around shit talking Swerve. I think that would have really brought my enjoyment it. To
so,
a
and
new
so you're
height.
Saying three men who hate Swerve, that's OC, Keith Lee, and Darby, and Sting is just there in a chaperone capacity, pretty much.
Yeah. He's there to protect their reputations, make sure they don't get compromised.
Adult lovers.
We're cutting that.
Cutting it.
Well, you can cut it from my track.
Yeah, now you mean Marjorie Leaf.
I think this is our best podcast ever, possibly.
Honestly, I've rarely been doing worse on a podcast.
We're at Lake Time. We're still on Lake Time.
Okay, well, anyway, they had the match, so don't worry about that. They fought, and the dudes won. The men who hate Swerve won. Swerve and Keith Lee held each other really romantically.
Really so romantically. I wasn't expecting it.
Honestly, I was like, this is the most chemistry I've seen out of anyone quite a minute, maybe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They really, like, looked at each other like they were surprised to find their faces so close and that they were having some emotions about it.
There's something there that wasn't there before. Anyway, then later in the show, OC was backstage talking to Renee. I think Renee asked some question like, what's up? And he said, like, I know that someone's going to challenge me for my belt. That's what always happens, Renee. Very funny. And that somebody turned out to be Zack Sabre Jr., who OC has been calling out in his quiet OC way repeatedly. They know each other from back on the indies. They were having a little stare down, and then Danny Garcia showed up, and I think, did he say he wanted to fight OC, or did he just say, where's Shibata?
Just got into the middle of all of them. It just felt like he was like, how come nobody wants to fight me? I want to fight somebody. That's how it kind of felt.
I think so. I think he did ask, where's your friend Shibata? And OC said, he's not here this week. Next week, we'll have a tag team match. Okay, bye. And left. So he and Shibata are going to fight Zack Sabre Jr. and Danny Garcia. And then I've asked here, when is Forbidden Door again?
Oh, I put it in the card thing.
Oh, 20 yeah. something, 20, right?
Yeah.
It's like 2 weeks.
Oh, 6/21. What? That's a week from now. No, that's Dynamite. That's not Forbidden
Door.
Yeah, it's
6/25.
Okay. Yeah, it's the weekend after. Oh, my God. And a half. Yeah.
That's like tomorrow.
Yeah, that's why everybody keeps saying, like, this is a weird build, but I guess that's just the new normal.
It was weird last year too, so whatever.
I think it is like they can't, there's a limit to how much they can get the NJPW guys who are doing their own shit. So it's kind of fine.
They were doing better with like the pre-tapes and stuff. I feel like I don't think they did as much with it last time, but it is smart to just get them to tape stuff.
And I like when we just see the NJPW guys coming to us from like empty rooms, just from white rooms, just being like, I'd love to fight.
That Hinata one was straight up a hostage video. Like, he was just like in like a gray-celled room. Yes, I do want to fight.
Of course it would be my pleasure to fight somebody at Forbidden Door. Those NJPW guys are hunks. Like across the board, like it's you see hunks. Them and you're just like, okay.
Yeah.
Why aren't you here more often? I get you have your own job, I guess, but I like looking at you.
Once a year, the boys come over to the girls' camp and we're like, wow.
Yeah,
I know. Living.
My.
Wow. Okay. Oh, you want to talk about the yes, no, the no static thing?
Yeah. So
well,
weird.
That's it. It's just that, so we got a flash no in the middle of this match. And I think you and I are right that it is during, it's been during OC matches. We've had this happen like three times.
Yeah.
Do you think that this is, like, A, I don't want to go on a Bray Wyatt scavenger hunt, really, but I do feel like that is what they are asking me to do. But no one has suggested what this could be leading to, which is very funny to me because I feel like usually the IWC immediately feels confident that they know what's going on.
I know. And this time they just seem to be like, well, I don't know. And most of the time I feel like it's like if I was a deep scholar of wrestling history, I would have a good idea of what's happening here. But I like asked Jeff, I was like, oh, what do you think this is? And he was like, oh, they need a new tech team. So it's just like, I mean, surely they do, but
I'm sure they do. But also it's like, what button are you pressing
on the tech team
that causes
overlay.
It to flash yes, no, or static? Like,
right. Yeah. Like when they get stupid, like audio from the back, it's like, yeah, that's like just an accident, but this seems pretty deliberate, but
right,
I don't
that
know
that always
to
happens
what
during OC's shit. Like,
yeah, they get weird static that looks like cartoony or a big no.
No C.
Maybe with the yes, maybe it's Bryan Danielson coming after him.
This would be a really new tack for Bryan Danielson.
And it would
I don't think that it's what the BCC would approve of. It's shenanigans.
When I try to imagine Orange Cassidy versus Bryan Danielson, I feel crazy.
Well,
that doesn't seem right.
I feel horned up, so.
Yeah. I don't know what I feel. I guess it's not, I'm not fully horny, but not fully not. You get there. But could I?
We're on a full spectrum here. Yeah.
Let's move on. I just want us to quickly talk about Jungle Hook. Do you guys feel good about that?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. I really want to be appropriate this time. I'll be trying to say appropriate things.
About Jungle Hook? Okay.
It's a real challenge. It's a stretch goal, but I love it for you.
Jungle Hook fought a match last week that we watched together, and I doubt any of us remembers. I have no idea what happened. And then they released a Pride t-shirt together that says Jungle Hook in rainbow font. So that is queer baiting, which we'll get to. Queer baiting comedy. And then on Dynamite this week, they cut a promo standing side by side two attractive young men where JB said, "It's the summer of Jungle Hook, but I feel naked next to you because I have no belt." You feel naked and you come out and say that in front of Hook, son of Taz. Child.
I didn't know people were allowed to hit on Hook that overtly without being whisked away.
I don't know. Did he ask for permission to court or something?
Maybe he did. Yeah.
He's going to get Danhausen so quickly.
Yeah. Under the ring, straight to collision. Wait, no, Hook is on collision.
Well, but he hasn't been booked for a match yet, so time will tell. And I read a little Cult of Wrestling dirt sheet article today that said, actually, Taz wants Hook to go to WWE. Taz,
really?
I don't think so, but it just they have like, no,
that seems strange.
They have no quotes and no they didn't seem to be coming from anywhere. They just said Taz, currently an announcer for AEW, wishes that Hook would go wrestle for WWE.
It's the rare case of a wrestling family that wants to be on separate shows. Would like
We've
to spend a little less time
before.
Together.
I guess Keith Lee and his wife are happy being on separate shows for now.
No.
Okay, and
I didn't
so
know his wife was a wrestler.
I think that, so Jungle Boy was like, I must get a belt. I said I would. I need to get it. So he's answering Sonata's open challenge for whatever belt he has that you know we don't know the name of, and that soon they'll both have belts. And then I think he asked Hook to come out to the ring with him for that match because, and we have a lot of evidence to back this up, they are best friends. They are best friends.
It was a real promposal vibe there when you ask him.
It was a lot for the amount that I've seen those men interact.
Best friends.
We're just throwing that around to say it about anybody these days.
I don't understand what's going on with Jungle Boy right now because his energy is kind of like manic a little bit.
It is like he doesn't have a belt. Yeah, and try to take Hook's belt,
for sure, which I think is great. Like, I actually love that as a storyline, and I love all of this, and I love repeatedly saying, it's queer baiting.
They're just trying to get us.
During Pride Month, Matt Jackson is an ally, and Jungle Hook is queer baiting.
That's the discourse I wish we were having.
I think we're starting it right now, maybe.
Which I don't love for us. So don't discourse about this with us. We're only having fun.
I really enjoyed, I think it was Mary tweeted and was like, Sonata definitely knows who Jungle Jack Perry is. Don't you worry about that. He definitely could pick him out of a lineup. No worries.
Well, he doesn't have to pick him out of a lineup because it's just the man who comes out to the ring. You just fight that one. So,
but it would be fun if they come out with Hook, right? So it's like very funny if they come out and Sonata's like, so which one am I fighting?
I'd love it if most matches started with them having to pick their opponent out of a lineup, actually. Number four.
Isn't that what Sammy and Danny Garcia did that one time, which I thought was so fucking funny?
Did they?
They did that to somebody. Who the fuck was it? Where he was like waiting in the ring and like, it was like, you're going to fight Danny or Sammy, but we're not going to tell you. And they made it all the way down to the ring before they revealed. That was great.
That's good stuff.
Hey, if best friends Jungle Boy and Hook wanted to do pranks like that, I'd love it.
Love a little
prank. I thought you were bringing best friends into it.
Too.
And
I was
like,
yeah.
That's interesting. So it's our Greg, Dustin, and Jungle Hook. You're right. We don't know any best friends except Jungle Hook. Jungle Hook have always been best friends, TM. Okay. Well,
I wish best friends would queer bait us a little bit. I guess they have their
Did you see people saying they were wearing like the Dustin and Greg Forever t-shirt and someone on a plane asked them if they had just gotten, if Dustin and Greg had just gotten married, like they were flying back from a wedding.
And I have that t-shirt and that made me think I must wear it more often. During Pride Month?
During Pride Month.
I must break it out.
I want somebody to ask me that so I could be like, oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
totally. They did get married.
Absolutely. I love, and when I ask, did they just get married? And someone says, oh, absolutely. I believe that. I don't have any further questions about why the answer I just heard was, oh, absolutely, they did. To me, that just seems trustworthy. No further questions, Your Honor. Congratulations to the happy couple. Okay, this is our final topic of the night, unless one of you wants to talk about the guns, who are looking very fuckable recently, but there's nothing else to say about them.
I mean, when just you're right, you're right.
Sexy, you know?
I get so mad when people hate them.
I know.
We're a well-regulated militia, as you know.
Yeah. We love the guns. But my friend Jeff used to like the guns, and this time watching it, he was like, I hate how fun they've gotten. And I was like, they're fun, Jeff.
You gotta admit it.
They're very fun.
Love wins.
That's right.
In Pride Month? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course love wins with the guns, sure.
Okay, final segment of the night. This is really just for our own personal enjoyment because we are, well, gossip hags, and we spent all day wrapped up in the intrigue here. We are going to quickly check in on what is going on with, as Kenny said last night, the hot little number that is Collision.
He's such an ultimate bitch. I love him so much.
It's so funny.
I was obsessed. You know, I watched two different versions of it. You probably did too. In the first one, I couldn't tell. Something weird happened with the sound. This was the post show speech from the Elite. I thought that he had purposefully like flicked his mic away so that you couldn't really hear what he was saying. But I think it was just someone's phone. He just cheerfully right into the microphone. He said all of the other stuff really normally and then said, and also a hot little number called Collision. I would die for you, Kenny.
So funny. They released the card and it's like the worst card of all time. But it was really funny because like I was on Twitter and like some punk lover was like, look at the Collision card. And then all the replies were people saying things like, oh my God, Buddy Matthews versus Andrade. And like I was like, wow. Like Savage Burn. And then I was like, oh no, they're serious. They're excited for that.
Well, so the crazy thing about the Collision rollout, as we all know, is that they were showing these Collision commercials and they were showing them through the first half of Dynamite last night that are only about punk. But they're all old footage. There's no new footage. And it's just being like, come see CM Punk fight in this 6-man tag for no reason that we are going to explain to you.
Which is an interesting choice.
So you're just like, this is weird. Like, you're not doing that much advertising. Nobody is doing any media for it. Mm-hmm. And except for Tony, who doesn't want to answer questions about it. And anyway, so then halfway through Dynamite, they aired a new Collision promo with new footage of CM Punk. Still no footage of anybody else. And it was CM Punk looking haggard. Drawn and haggard, saying that
he looked so middle-aged.
It's true. And I don't want to get anybody, well, I won't say it. He said that, and I loved to hear this personally. He said, I don't know what I'll say when I get a mic in my hand.
Well, legally, I think he's restricted in some ways.
Legally, you're somewhat restricted. But that he has a lot to get off his chest. So it was a kind of a weird, but whatever, promo. We did get the crowd reaction watching the promo, which was, I thought was not, I mean, I wasn't shocked, but I was like, eek. If I were backstage, I would have been like,
yeah. It's like there were a few people cheering and a few people booing, but most people were kind of just sitting there like looking at their phones.
Absolutely disinterested. Wild.
I think I saw someone tweet and they were like, I thought it'd be like 50% boos, 50% cheers. I didn't expect like 25, 25, and 50% not caring. It was like, yeah. And I feel like it might have been 60 to 70% not caring.
There was not a lot of caring going on.
No, rough.
So that is interesting. Do you guys want to talk about, like, I guess, like, we're not going to have any of the details of what apparently is in this. CM Punk, I guess, did a little ESPN interview in which according to the dirt sheets, that he informed. It's like, how am I presenting this?
He told everyone, I did an interview that people are going to be pretty upset about. Apparently he was DMing every wrestling journalist today.
Which the listeners will have, like...
They'll know
what
happened.
It's going to come out tomorrow.
It's Thursday now.
But I think it's Thursday now. I think it's so funny. Our friend Sarah, like, presented to us, like, either he decided to give this interview and say heel stuff because he wants to turn heel, even though Tony doesn't want to. So he's openly defying Tony. Or he did it by accident, and he was just a huge douche. Yeah. And now he's being like, guys, it was on purpose the whole time. Don't worry about it.
Because apparently he told all these wrestling journalists that he had turned heel in the interview, even though he was supposed to be a babyface. But it was like,
the original report was like, I was out of pocket.
Yeah, like my money is definitely on he's doing that wrestler thing of like, I meant to do that. I've been turning heel all along.
It's true. But I think it's like, it could also be a little bit of both too, where it's like, I don't think that he can be feeling amazing about the collision sales. Although it's like, why would you expect the collision sales to be good when this is the way that you've rolled out the show? Yeah. I've been finding it very difficult just to get my head around, like, even if CM Punk is being like a recalcitrant mule behind the scenes and making stuff really hard, I still can't figure out how this is the rollout that you would come up with.
No. Well, it's such a bad idea too, because like AEW has always been kind of like a variety show with a lot of people. So like you buy a ticket and you're like, well, there's going to be something I like because like there's a lot of guys on it and I like a lot of them. So having a show built around like just one guy feels so, I mean, it seems it's what Punk was trying to do the whole time before Brawl Out, but it's just like, yeah, like I don't, I mean, I wouldn't buy a ticket for, I like Miro, but everybody else is just kind of like, whatever.
I would never buy a ticket to the show. I mean, it's...
The fact that they're not, they didn't give Miro an opponent?
Yeah, just Miro in action? Like, what are we doing
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Maybe there's going to be like a really exciting debut, guys. And we're going to like really wish we'd been there.
Oh my God. This is going to be so embarrassing when we post this pod. And like, everyone's like, those idiots didn't even know that Miro is fighting
that Gronk,
Roman Reigns.
Gronk 2 was going to be there. Gronk the Gronkening. Oh, God. Miro versus Gronk?
Yeah, but it does just seem like putting all your eggs in one basket for the show is just like a bad idea, even if CM Punk was like reliable.
Or it's like putting like
promos.
One big fragile egg in the basket.
Right.
Don't you think that there's also like a real producer's vibe though? Like where like WBD has given Tony a certain amount of money and is like, you have to put on 2 hours of programming. And he's like, I don't want to. And they're like, you have to. So he's like, this is what I'm doing.
Right.
All day today, honestly, I was thinking about when Jack Donaghy on 30 Rock tanked the network by like producing Milf Island and stuff. Yeah, I've been thinking about it.
Oh my God, right. You know, I just rewatched 30 Rock and it's like, should I rewatch it again?
It's kind of a it's great show. Every time. Yeah, just rolls right in there.
I deeply enjoyed it telling you about Milf Manor, Anne, by the way, because you did not believe me that that was a real show.
No, I can't believe they made a real is that,
that's
Milf
the,
show.
That's the one where the surprise is that they get there and they don't realize that their mom is one of the Milfs.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Amazing stuff. Jack Donaghy would be so proud.
Yeah,
love it.
They're tanking that network. It's beautiful.
What was the name for it? There's a name for it on 30 Rock.
It was Milf Island on 30 Rock.
No. For what he's doing. Like,
I thought it was just tanking the network, but maybe I'm forgetting.
I feel like I'm remembering an episode where he gets the idea or he's sharing the idea with someone and they're like, shooting the moon or something. Well, this isn't good radio, and so I think we probably got to wrap it up. Do you have anything else that you want to say about... Collision is premiering this week. That's shocking
this
to
week,
me.
It feels crazy. I'm, like, real curious to know what's going to happen because it feels like it's just, like, we're moments away from a full self-destruct.
I mean, the situation crazy. Backstage cannot be feeling...
Because it sounds like everybody at TV last night was super mad about this ESPN interview, which they apparently had maybe heard. I don't know. It sounded like he might have like gone off on Hangman again too, which is just like, wow, you don't learn a lesson, do you?
Leave him alone.
I guess we haven't said on this podcast that the other thing that's going on with Collision, that like this is just for comedy it's just perfect comedy. I'm obsessed with it. Is that Mox has booked all these Saturday indie shows yeah. and Jericho just booked some Saturday, like it's for his Kiss cover band. Is that Fozzie, but just under another name? I don't know. But basically everyone seems to have been like, and unfortunately I'm so busy on Saturdays and they're so
busy.
There's just
can't unfortunately, come in to rescue
I wouldn't
it.
Be able to help even if you asked me to.
Cause and I already like, have other commitments.
If I were Tony, I would have asked by now.
Yeah. I think about 3 months ago, I would have been putting some calls out there, but
there's the other funny thing about this is that like there's reports that like they had discussed Kenta being Punk's first like big feud and then it would be on Forbidden Door, which is crazy because Punk Kenta would fucking destroy him. But yeah. I think it's so funny that this report just came out and Kenta's on Twitter right now being like, nobody asked me. I wouldn't have done it. You'd have to pay me. Absolutely not. If you're not going to pay me, I'm not doing it.
I love the way that SRS report was written too. I'm just obsessed with the house style of SRS particularly, that's yeah. like, this doesn't make sense. It's very difficult for me to follow logically. And the way that they presented the Kenta stuff was like it was like clearly connected to everything else in the report, but it simply wasn't. And so I was like, well, what do you mean? That's all you have? It was like, he was going to work with Kenta, but then he didn't like the program. Okay? This is...
All those wrestling journalists is amazing. It's like these men who make a living communicating information to people, but they can't put a sentence together for to save their little lives.
Yeah. They've got to start using ChatGPT.
Honestly,
that's a comedy. I'm a writer. I don't believe in ChatGPT. I don't believe in ChatGPT. I guess if they were putting their horrible stuff in there and being like, correct this, ChatGPT probably could.
I do think that's the first use case I've ever heard that I was like, well, that might be able to help, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, well, I think that's the end of the podcast. Did I miss anything that anybody wanted to talk about?
God, I don't think so.
The energy ebbs and flows in this episode has been a little troubling, honestly, if I'm honest.
The amount of things that we're going to have to cut, I don't really know what this pod's going to look like.
I have no idea. And this is probably the first and hopefully the last time I'll ever say it. Someone's going to have to let us know if you get in there and you're editing this and you say like, we got to get back in the studio.
You need some pickups.
I'll be around all weekend. So I would just reach out and say, let's get the gang back together and we can fix this. We can do better because we can just easily, we'll just fix our minds and our personalities and we'll get back in the studio and we'll make it right.
Yeah. So I've got on my agenda for tonight, like, fixed personality, so that's personality be taken care of pretty soon.
Huh. It's been on my agenda for about 10 years. I just keep bumping it.
Yeah, I think I'm settled. I think it's. I think it's
you feel okay.
Baked in. No, I'm just.
Oh, you're not going to fix yourself.
No, okay,
well,
I'm
that's
not
your choice.
I think it's just gonna say.
That's your choice. Yeah.
Can I go off about a different topic?
Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
I guess so. Yeah.
So Reddit is closed for business because. Yeah. This whatever. So yeah. I'm doing the card thing for you where I tell you who won and lost and who's coming
and I
up,
appreciate
right?
it. And this Leah does this for me every week. It's very important work. Thank you,
love
Leah.
It. Love it. I usually get it from this one source who turns out gets it from Squared Circle. But like when they didn't have it, I went to Squared Circle. Obviously couldn't get in.
Do you know
that if you don't get that Rampage card from Squared Circle, the only place on the internet that has it, it's all spoilers. Like if you Google Rampage card on fucking Thursday morning,
you know,
the
Leah,
only
I,
option
I do
spoilers?
Know that I think because when I was looking at the card that you had given me,
oh, did I accidentally
one of them one? Did say Takeshita beat Bandito.
Sorry.
And I thought, that's strange. It hasn't. And then I thought, oh, and it's just from spoilers. I didn't care. But I did. I was like, that's unusual to know.
I was changing all the little defeated to versus because I couldn't find it. Okay.
Reddit provides some valuable services in this world.
Across the internet.
Across the internet.
I agree. But the fact that all elitewrestling.com is not a destination for card information.
It makes me crazy.
They do not have the resources. Okay. They are in free fall.
There's one person running that website and they're probably married to a wrestler. Yeah.
They don't know how to code. They don't know HTML. They're doing their best.
Like, they don't have a CMS. They're not hosting it on WordPress or something. They're coding the whole thing from scratch. They're not using InDesign. I mean.
No, they're not.
They have options.
Never heard of it.
Well, somebody's got to get right with themselves. And Reddit needs to get it together.
Well, but I want to say, Reddit leadership, the dark triads up in the higher upper echelon of Reddit need to get it together. The sociopaths, the Machiavellianisms. The
closer you are to the top, the more of that there
the
is.
The more the dark triad presents itself. Mm-hmm. And they need to get it together and they need to respect their user base because everyone who has said, we stand with Reddit, we stand with the Writers Guild.
We definitely stand with Reddit and the Writers Guild.
Yeah. You really jumped
in. All the best to their family.
to their friends and family. Because all the people have said, but it is worth repeating, the only way to get information about anything on the internet anymore is to Google this thing I need, Reddit. That's it. That's the only place you can find real people talking about real issues. Like which shampoo to use.
They are
starting it and we need to start it about them now. And because we stand with them and we stand with the writers. The writers of Reddit.
As the internet gets more and more ChatGPT'd all up to uselessness. Oh my God.
Real people. Exchanging real symptoms of maladies that we might have.
Real symptoms.
That's what I'm often Googling is I'm just trying to find whether my meds are interacting with stuff. But I go to Reddit. That's true. I go to Reddit to find out.
Your doctor won't know.
My doctor does not want to talk about my meds with me. My doctor's, when I ask questions about my meds, my doctor's vibe is like, why would you ask me that?
Is it doing something to your brain? No, surely not.
He says, most people really like these.
Most people really like these. I don't know.
Okay,
love it.
So I would say that that's the end of the episode. Do you agree?
I agree.
I think it should be, yes.
We got to get out of here before we do more damage to ourselves and others.
Okay, so this whole time we've been talking, whatever we said, and I can't wait to find out what it was, I was Allie.
I've been Ann.
I've been Leah, and do not hold this against us.
No, you can't, because we just got back from vacation.
We're on lake time. There's no consequences on lake time.
I mean, I think we might be under the lake. Mm. Bottom of the lake.
With the algae all the way down.
Oh, like the Lady of Shalott. In her little canoe. No, but her hair is kind of trailing. Okay,
kind of hair algae.
So this was Tunnel Talk. Our show is produced by Marjorie Voinovich. Our theme's by Chris Corkin. You can find us, if you want to, on Twitter and Tumblr at Tunnel Talk Pod. We might have some quizzes for you. I guess we'll find out. You can find us at email at tunneltalkpod@gmail.com if you have questions about anything you heard here today. Please rate, review, and subscribe to us wherever you get your podcasts. And if you feel safe doing so, come back next week. 1st episode I've ever. I mean, it's not a bad episode, but in terms of the recording process,
just dancing on the edge of a cliff the whole time.
If they get these raws, it's over for us.